Following message was given by Brother Timothy Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, November 5th, 2017. The title of the message is Ministering to the Lord to Enjoy Him as the Hidden Manna, the Budding Rod, and the Law of Life. Scripture verses are Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 10 through 11 and 15 through 18, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, and Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4.
How much we need you. We thank you for putting us in your house. Enjoy you as our portion. Lord, we give this morning's time to you. We pray you will cleanse us. And knowing our time, and knowing your precious words, we love you, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, saints. We are covering what we went over last week, which is the title is Ministering to the Lord to Enjoy Him as the Hidden Manna, the Budding Rod, and the Law of Life. The verses we read is very clear. It's concerning ministering to the Lord. The portion we read was Ezekiel chapter 44. We read the verses 10 through 11, 15 through 18. Our brother just made an announcement that there will be a training coming up. There will be the third training on the book of Ezekiel. So we had two trainings already. And I just feel the Lord is very sovereign. Brought us to this book, and it's very timely for all of us. Ezekiel started with a vision of the appearance of the glory of Jehovah. So even though Ezekiel was a captive, he was in a foreign land, but he saw a vision, the vision of the appearance of the glory of Jehovah. You know, with all of us sitting here, we all, to some extent, we have seen the Lord. Amen. That's why we are here. Amen. That's why the Lord attracted us. We didn't see the Lord like Paul did. Paul was extraordinary. He was struck down by a light, like the midday. And he saw the Lord, and he asked the Lord, "Who are you, Lord? And what shall I do?" But for us Christians, unless we saw the Lord, we will not believe in him because he is invisible. But through the gospel preaching, through the enlightening of the Lord, we have seen that the Lord is precious. And we received him. Thank the Lord. You know, I have no thought in believing in the Lord, but the Lord came to me through the gospel preaching. And I believe. So I'm very thankful I'm standing here and, you know, we are together. You know, this is how Ezekiel started. Later on we saw, Ezekiel saw there was the blowing wind coming. And with the wind, there was the cloud. And with the cloud, there was the fire. With the fire, eventually it was the electron. Ah. I think the Lord has been blowing in all of us.
Amen.
Even in the church in New York City. I think a lot of things happen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is surely, he is not passive, you know. All the children of Israel, they were captured. They were carried away. But God is blowing.
Amen.
And the cloud, the Spirit, is here. And I feel the picture is very fitting for us today. Of course, after seeing the vision, there were the four living creatures. Four living creatures refer to the created beings. And of course, we are the created beings. But God wants to make us alive. You know, we became fallen, we became dead in our sins. But God wants to make us alive. Even the four living creatures, eventually we see, they were coordinated together. And next to the living creature was a great and awesome wheel, signifying God's move. So in chapter 1, we see not just the manifestation of God, but also we saw God's move among his people. Has God been moving among us in New York City?
Amen.
Surely God has been moving. Amen. And he is still moving.
Amen.
But, you know, the law also showed us that while there's the living creatures, four living creatures coordinated together and moving, there was a great, awesome wheel, and there was also a throne. And a man was on the throne. Of course, this is our dear Christ. So today, you know, Brother Ed stepped out, and he mentioned that yesterday, in fact, during the blending time, gave us a little history concerning the church in New York City, and he mentioned that he's the only one of the three brothers here. But I testify that the Lord has been with us. And the Lord is moving among us.
Amen.
And the Lord is still going on among us.
Amen.
And his throne is above us.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that, you know, now, you know, we all can do what we want. But rather, the Lord's administration is in our midst.
Amen.
You know, soon some of the brothers, you know, before Brother James led us during the Memorial Day weekend conference, he introduced 35 or so the serving brothers, serving with him. So there are the serving brothers here. We are serving together for the Lord's interests. And some of them, maybe 15 or 16, on the way, will be going to Taiwan and to see the church in Taipei. Of course, to have a church or a city like the size of New York, not too many in the world. But especially the church, you know, the church in Taipei, of course, they have been many years, and they have a very good administration. That is, they have 60-some meeting halls, but there's only one church in Taipei. You know, now, Brother Ed just mentioned to us yesterday, there were 6 meeting halls already. And there are another 2 lined up. Soon we're going to be 8 meeting halls. How are we going to, you know, as one, you know, to be the church singular in New York City? The all 8 meeting halls, are they, you know, everyone meeting in its own meeting hall. But are we just separated each on its own? No. The Lord has his administration. The Lord has his throne, and the Lord is in our midst. So they are going there to, I think some of the brother, Roger is going, Brother Israel is going, and Brother, okay, some other brothers are going. So, you know, before they went, some of us, you know, went already. So it's good to see how the Lord is, you know, according to the scripture, you know. On one hand, you know, this is related to the church. In fact, the other aspect is, I realize it's very sovereign, this. You know, during the Memorial Day weekend conference, the subject was knowing life and the church. And we just had the elders and the responsible brothers training in Europe, and the subject was concerning the recovery of the church. And I think this is very timely that the Lord is leading us. One point concerning the recovery of the church, of course, the Lord, you know, the training was held in German. It was the 500th anniversary. In fact, 5 days ago, 5 days and 500 years ago, Martin Luther started nailing 95 theses on the door of the castle church in Wittenberg. And the training was only 1 hour away from that city. And some of the saints, after the training, went by there and saw that place. And that was the beginning. The brothers had a burden. They had a burden. What Martin Luther started but didn't finish. The Lord wants to finish it.
Amen.
You know, according to church history, the prophecy in the book of Revelation, the Reformed Church is typified by the church in Sardis. And the Lord speaking to the church in Sardis was, I found you have a name, is living, yet are dead. And I found nothing complete in you. So it's a warning to all of us. Of course, it's a situation, according to the prophecy, is there. So I just feel that the Lord is arranging everything for our benefit. That today we need to see the recovery. Of course, there were many other items, not just concerning the justification by faith, also the sanctification, the inner life, and the brotherly love, you know, and the recovery of many important truths. But one truth, especially recovered in 1933 and 1934 through Brother Watchman Nee, was the truth concerning the boundary of locality, or the church boundary is based on the city as the boundary. And that is a very important truth to show us that today the church, in order to be built up, needs to be local. But while it's local, it has its limit. And the limit is the city. So this will safeguard the church. You know, today many are, you know, Martin Luther started justification by faith. That's very good. But at the same time, the state churches came into existence. There was a further dividing. And of course, later on, other defender of the truth, Baptists, you know, or Presbyterian, and they are further established other denominations and divided the church, divided the body of Christ. So today, by the Lord's mercy, the Lord has brought us to come to this truth. That is, what God did in the very beginning in the New Testament sets the principle. That is, the first church is the church in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem has many believers, just like New York, just like Taipei, and many other big cities. And yet, there's only one church. So this principle will safeguard the oneness among God's people. So to make the long story short, that today, you know, the church in New York City, we may have many, many meeting halls, but there's only one church, and there's only one administration.
Amen.
And one fellowship.
Amen.
With all the other churches. So I just want to mention this, that the Lord truly is leading us in the church in New York City. In the book of Ezekiel, of course, we see in the beginning was the vision, and after that was God's judgment on the children of Israel. I think, you know, firstly on the children of Israel, then on the heathen nations around Israel. And I think in our life, you know, the Lord also, by his mercy, he will touch us. And he will not let us go our own ways. But after the judgment, there was the recovery of life. We see the recovery of life, the Lord shepherding us, setting up watchmen, but for the purpose, not just that we may enjoy life, you know. The recovery of life is truly precious. In fact, the Lord has led us every year from 2015, 16, and 17. Every year, the Lord has set us a definite goal to move on with him. In the first year, 2015 was concerning advancing and enlarging, and 2016 was concerning the trailblazing, and 2017 was concerning concerning, help me a little bit. It was concerning, we need to pursue the truth, and we need to have the blending, and we also need to have relevant. That means every one of us, we should find our niche in the body of Christ, in the church life, because every one of us is needed. And every one of us, as a member of the body of Christ, is precious to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But you know, for our next year, one particular point is we want to recover many saints, because the Lord's burden is not just we sitting here, but rather the Lord wants to recover all the lost ones, backsliding ones, so they can be also brought back. Okay, so all what has been happening in Ezekiel to chapter 44, we mentioned about the vision, we mentioned about God's judgment, we mentioned about God's recovery of life, is for the purpose that God may gain his building. So we see in chapter 40, start from chapter 40, was concerning God's building. And chapter 44, this morning we came to chapter 44. Chapter 44 was concerning the service in the house of Jehovah. That's why we read the verses and concerning the priests. So I feel, in fact, this is the principle in the Bible. Whether in Acts, it was mentioned about the, Exodus, concerning the tabernacle, building of the tabernacle, then there was the consecration, the service of the priests. And in the book of Ezekiel, it's also when the building of God, Jehovah, is there, holy building, the holy temple is there, then after was the priest's service. Even in the end of the Bible, when New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, then in chapter 22, verse 3, it mentioned his slaves will serve him, and they will see his face. So we see the whole Bible is very consistent concerning God's purpose, concerning we all, how we participate in God's purpose. So in the beginning, I just want to mention this, and I just want to share a little bit about my enjoyment in this portion of the Word. In this portion of the Word, the verses we read, I think if we pay attention, we will realize there are two kinds of services, or two kinds of ministry, ministering to the Lord. And one was concerning the Levites. The Levites, in verse 10, he mentioned about they went far away. They went far from the Lord. And but the verse mentioned, even they went far from the Lord when Israel went astray. So Israel went astray, the nation. The serving ones, also they went far from the Lord. And but the following, there's one word, yet they shall minister in my sanctuary. So the Lord is very merciful. You know, sometimes we also, you know, this portion of the word, on one hand, it was concerning the Old Testament, the children of Israel, but on the other hand, it's pointing to all of us, because we are serving ones. Once we got saved, we become a serving one. So Levites are us. And if you check yourself, I check myself. I went far from the Lord before. We all, in sometime in our life, we went far from the Lord. And yet, here mentioned, yet they shall minister in my sanctuary. So the Lord still take us. Thank the Lord we are here still, because the Lord didn't give up on us. So we are here serving in a different area, in a different capacity. So if you read in this portion of the word, and it mentioned about, yet they shall minister, that's 11, in my sanctuary. Then if you go down, it mentioned that ministering in the house. Ministering in the house. Then you go further down, mentioned minister to them, to the children of Israel. So this is one category. One category, Brother Lee has a book concerning the ministering. He said, either you are ministering to the house, or you are ministering to the Lord. The verses we read was concerning the Levites. They were ministering in the sanctuary, in the house, and to the people. But God desires another kind of service, that is ministering to him. That is mentioned twice. Mentioned about Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. And then it mentioned, they shall come near to me to minister to me. So there are two kinds of ministering. One is you take care of the people. You take care of God's work. But the other kind is you are in the presence of the Lord. You minister to the Lord directly. And this is the kind of service God wants. But it doesn't mean that you just minister to the Lord, you don't do anything. In the New Testament, there's a picture concerning the two sisters. One is Mary and the other Martha. Mary is the one sitting in front of the Lord, and Martha was busy doing a lot of service. And so after that portion of the word, many saints and sisters, a few, I'm Mary, you know. I like to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, and the others be Martha. But in this portion of the word, it doesn't mean that. Even you are married, you still need to serve some practical matters. That's why the brotherly release the word, we need to be Mary and we need to be Martha. One sister, when she was born, was during that period of time, and a name was given, was Marissa. Marissa is Mary plus Martha. And in fact, we found out our name is not just Marissa, you know. Our name should be all Marissa, because we should be Mary, sitting at the Lord's feet, enjoying the Lord. On the other hand, we need to serve. You know, if no brother serving this morning the Lord's table, we're not going to have the Lord's table meeting. If we just come and sit down, there's no Lord's table meeting. So we need someone, you know, minister to the Lord, and we also need someone to take care of the practical matters. But the picture in the New Testament is not just Mary, Martha, and there was also Lazarus. Lazarus is a brother. Lazarus is bearing the testimony of the Lord's resurrection. So our name should be Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Okay, let me come back. So the precious thing is the Lord wants to adjust us that we will not just kind of serving the house, serving the people, that we will be the ones minister to the Lord. This is the part I enjoy. If you notice, maybe we can read 44. It mentioned that they will minister to me, and they shall stand before me to present to me the fat and the blood. Declares. What verse? 15? Okay, maybe we read 15 together. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to present to me the fat and the blood. Declares the Lord Jehovah. 16. It is they will enter my sanctuary, and it is they who will come near to my table to minister to me, and they will keep my charge. One word strike me when I read this part is they will come near to my table. You know, the Lord is in the Holy of Holies. But here it says, they will come near to my table to minister to me. Of course, this table is referring to the table of the bread. of the Lord's presence. So to minister to the Lord, one second thing is we need to come to the table. The table, of course, is for eating. You know, we have the Lord's table. So to eat for us Christians is very important. So we all need to spend some time to eat the Lord. In fact, when we eat the Lord, you know, we covered before, the table, the height of the table is the same height as the ark. The ark, obviously, the ark of the testimony. So when we eat the table, in fact, automatically we can, we will come to the ark. The ark is kind of, it's also a table. You know, this portion of the word, in the past I didn't understand that well. Ministering to the Lord, you know, message 9, to enjoy him as the hidden manna, the budding rod, and the law of life. Enjoy the hidden manna and the budding rod and the law of life. They are the content of the ark. Why? Ministering to the Lord, eventually you mention something inside the ark. The principle to me, in my experience, I realize is when we enjoy the Lord at the table, you know, every day we enjoy the Lord, we will be ushered to the ark to become his testimony. So the Lord's testimony is not that high that we cannot reach. As long as we come to the table, as long as we enjoy the Lord, automatically we'll be ushered to be able to bear his testimony. So in the church life, you know, in the Revelation also mentioned the primary thing in the church life is eating. Amen. So everyone else, we need to eat. Recently, there are some brothers, they spent time get into the Word. Suddenly, this brothers, just by eating the Lord, eating the Word, something about them changed. You know, the Word conveys the Lord's rich element into us. And another young sister was reading the Word, reading a spiritual book, and he said, my life is changing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our life can be changed by eating the Lord.
Amen.
The hidden manna, of course, was promised in the book of Revelation to the overcomers in the church in Pergamos. And the Lord promised that he will overcome, the Lord will give him to eat of the hidden manna. So hidden manna is just not something, you know, it was there in Exodus, but today it's applicable to us.
Amen.
The hidden manna is the, you know, when we enjoy the Lord with no distance.
Right.
Between us and the Lord, we enjoy him as the hidden manna. Praise the Lord for the church life.
Amen.
That every day we can enjoy Christ as our manna.
Amen.
Another aspect concerning the hidden manna is the Christ we enjoy, the open manna, when it digested into us, that is hidden manna.
Amen.
So it's practical for us today. You know, even my own experience, you know, I have morning revival with some of the saints. But for a while, it was very good. But then I realized it seemed there's something missing. And eventually I realized was that that wasn't enough for us. When we eat the Word, you know, the morning watch verses, and now we have the expanded version. Let me tell you, since the Lord wants us to have a bigger appetite,
amen.
That's why we are pursuing truth. You know, we have other materials. The Lord wants to feed us even with all His riches.
Amen.
So, saints, let's continue eating Jesus.
Amen.
Let's spend more time in enjoying Him. By enjoying him, we minister to him.
Amen.
We're not here just doing something out of ourselves. You know, I think this couple of weeks, everybody is very busy, and it can be easily just taking care of things. But rather, by eating, we minister to the Lord.
Amen.
I think this is the way the Lord wants to go on in all of us, that we need to allow the Lord to enlarge our capacities, allow the Lord to lead us to minister at his table, to come to the table, and to minister to the Lord, that the Lord will have a way to go on in all of us, that the Lord will have a way to move on in the church in New York City. Well, I just stop here, and Brother Frank will continue. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'll continue to share something that I enjoyed this week from the Word. Hopefully you would also share what you enjoy later on. What I would like to share are 3 points. One is the importance and necessity for all of us to serve the Lord. And secondly is to we all need to minister to the Lord while we're ministering to His house. And thirdly, we need to draw near to the Lord, shorten the distance that we have between the Lord. And I would like to ask the brothers to bring up Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 11. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 11. Maybe we can read these two verses together. Now, as God's saved one, we are all serving ones. None of us are not a serving one. We are all here serving the Lord. 12:1, chapter 12, verse 1. Amen. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal,
in spirit,
serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. We all need to serve the Lord. In this portion in Ezekiel, there are different groups. There are the Levites that serve in the house. There are the Levites who serve by slaying the sacrifice. They are the sons of Zadok that serve to the Lord in the sanctuary. But please do not, today in the New Testament, every saved one, every Christian needs to be one who serves the Lord. We cannot defer our service to someone else. The Lord requires us all to serve Him. And all of our service are equally important. Do not think that your service is less important than any other brother. Even though our functions may be different, what the Lord has called us to serve Him in the areas of service may be different, but we all need to have a heart to serve the Lord. This is the Lord's desire, that all of His children will serve Him. In reading this portion, often I thought that maybe I can only do a certain kind of service. Whatever we do, we need to serve the Lord. Lord Jesus. Sometimes we're called to serve in some practical matters. Even that, whether we're arranging the chairs, whether we're serving the food, or we're speaking here for the Lord, everything we do, we have to have a heart to serve to the Lord. It's not something that we just call to do, to handle some matter. Recently, Brother mentioned we're very busy, and some of us are asked to coordinate certain matters in taking care of meetings or different events. And as I was calling the saints to help to serve on different matters, caring for the children, arranging chairs, serving the food, I just had a realization that even in writing the email and contacting the saints, that I'm not just asking the saints to do something. We are here to serve the Lord. Whatever we're doing must be a service unto the Lord. Otherwise, there's no difference in just handling some physical affairs. So I think in our attitude, this week I was touched that we are all serving the Lord. In whatever we're doing, do not compare your service to someone else. You need to realize that whatever you're doing, whatever you're assigned to do, you need to serve the Lord in that matter. This is what the Lord has called us to do. And sometimes we do have the problem that we have the heart to serve the Lord, but we may not know what to do. So this phrase, sons of Zadok, actually touched me very much this week. The Lord did not just mention the Levitical priests, but he says the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok. And I look into a little bit, who is Zadok? Zadok was a priest at David's time. He was a faithful priest. He was actually instrumental in anointing Solomon to be the next king. Now, David had many sons, and one of his sons actually openly rebelled against David. That was Absalom. And Zadok stood firm and as a priest, and he helped to bring in Solomon as the next king. What the Lord touched me with the sons of Zadok is there are many older ones in the church life. They are overseeing the church. They're leading the church. So even though I sometimes may not know where I can serve or where is the area that I should serve, I need to be open to follow these older ones, to be one of the sons of Zadok, to serve in his house. I don't know where is the need and where the Lord wants me to serve. But it's good to have fellowship with the older ones. And when the older ones ask you to serve in a certain area, just be open. Do not become passive. When it comes to service, sometimes the Lord wants us to do something and we don't do it. That's a sin of disobedience. There's also the matter of the sin of presumption, which is the Lord did not ask you to do something and you went ahead and do it. Personally, I feel I'm more inclined to sin the first way. The Lord asked me to do something, but I'm not willing, or I feel it's too bothersome, and I do not serve. I'm passive. But we need to realize that we need to serve. This is something that's necessary. This is not something optional that only certain saints in the church need to do. We all need to serve. And if you're not serving, you need to find out where can I serve you, Lord? We need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us to find out where we can serve him. And another thing is, as we're serving, we should never stop serving. Early on in my Christian life, I was asked to serve young people. And not pretty soon after that, you realize that it's very difficult to serve the young people because they're not always behaving according to my concept. So not soon after I started serving young people, I wanted to quit. I'm ready to go to the brothers and just resign. You know, brothers, thank you for asking me to serve young people, but I can't do this anymore. I just want to wash my hand away from the service. And one of the time, one brother shared with, actually a couple brothers shared with me something from Numbers chapter 20:28. There's a picture of Aaron the priest. Aaron was a high priest in the Old Testament. And because of his failure in speaking against Moses, God told Moses and Aaron and his son, and Aaron's son, to go to the mountain. And Jehovah told Moses that Aaron is going to die, right? And the description in Numbers 20:28 is that Moses stripped Aaron of his garments. You know, the priests, when they serve, they have to wear a certain garment with the ephod and everything. And so Moses stripped Aaron's garments, and Aaron died right there. So that was shared to me to encourage me, don't stop serving. The moment you take off your priestly garment, the result is you will die. So spiritually speaking, anytime we stop serving, we will die. So especially I want to share this word as an encouragement and warning to all the young people and many saints who are serving. Maybe you're getting a little tired. Maybe you want to stop serving. But be careful. When you stop serving, spiritually, you will die. None of our service is perfect, but we're all learning to serve together in the building up of God's house. So we need to continue to serve. Now, in this portion in Ezekiel 44, you do see that there are some who are serving, but their heart is turned away from Jehovah. And the sons of Zadok, they stand before Jehovah. They minister unto Jehovah. They present the fat and the blood to Jehovah. So their service, their focus is to Jehovah. Doesn't mean that they're not serving all the in the house. I know this week a lot of us are enjoying this message by Brother Nee concerning serving the Lord or serving the house. Well, sometime I had the thought, if I'm serving the house, maybe I'm not serving Jehovah. Or somehow they're mutually exclusive. No, they're not mutually exclusive. It is that while we're serving the house, we need to be reminded that our service is unto Jehovah. While we're ministering to people, we have to remember first that we need to minister to the Lord. We need to minister to the Lord. It is not enough, and actually, in my experience, you'll find very lacking very soon. That if you're merely ministering to people without ministering to the Lord, your patience, your love will all run out. Whether that be preaching the gospel, caring for the new ones, or shepherding some. And this year, one of our banners is to restore many who have not been coming to the meeting. This is not going to be an easy matter if we do it in ourselves. If we're just trying to go and minister to someone who haven't been to the meeting without first ministering to the Lord, that is not going to work. I can predict, I can prophesy. And that has been my experience many times, that will not work. So before or even while we're ministering to people, we need to minister to the Lord. And the example in Acts chapter 13 is a great one. These five brothers in the church in Antioch, they just came together, they ministered to the Lord. And as a result, the Holy Spirit sent out Paul and Barnabas to do the work, not that they planned to do, but to do the work that the Holy Spirit has set them to do. So hourly, if you look at the hour things that they're doing, it's no different. They're traveling from place to place. They're preaching the gospel. They're producing churches, many believe, and be gathered as a church. So hourly, their quote-unquote missionary works seemingly is no different than many missionary work that we've seen. But intrinsically, inwardly, that work was not initiated by themselves, nor was it initiated by a board. some committee that decided, okay, today you're going to Lystra. In next week, you're going to Derby. You're going to these places. No, they're just following the Lord. The beginning of that work was initiated by the Lord. The carrying out of that work was also by the Holy Spirit. Paul and Barnabas did not have any agenda as to what to do next. But they were not passive. They were following the Lord all the time. So as a result, the Holy Spirit is able to accomplish much of the work through our brothers. Not only Paul and Barnabas, but I also felt that those five brothers, even the whole church in Antioch, they were one with the Lord in what the Lord wants to accomplish. So today we have to do the same. As we're preaching the gospel, many of us need to come together and go out to share the gospel, not just wait for a gospel meeting. I do believe the Lord is calling many of us to go out, to knock on doors, to visit others, to visit our relatives, to visit our friends. We need to respond by waiting on the Lord, and as the Lord speaks to us, we need to go, and not just to plan by ourselves what to do next. So we all the time have to be reminded to ask these two questions. How close am I to the Lord? You know, especially as you're serving. And the second question that I touch is there still a distance between you and the Lord? As we're serving the Lord, we have to be afraid of any kind of distance that comes between us and the Lord. Especially when our work are seemingly successful. There's a real danger that we dwell in the success of our work and we forgot about ministering to the Lord. And in this point, I was reminded of the Lord, of the Lord's example in John chapter 6, and also in Mark chapter 6, in the incident of feeding the 5,000. The Lord fed 5,000 with two fish and five bread, five loaves and two fishes. Five loaves and two fishes. And that was truly a miracle. All the disciples were very excited. The people are satisfied that they're all fed. But at the end of that incident, the Lord compelled the disciples to pick up all the leftovers and tell them to go to the other side so that he can go up to the mountain privately to pray to Jehovah. The Lord did not dwell in the success of his work, but rather he realized he need to seek the Father's will so that he can speak the Father's work. So that should be our example. As we're serving the Lord, maybe the Lord bless us with some success, but don't dwell in that success. We need to realize that we need to go to the Lord. We need to again ask the Lord for his blessing. We believe the Lord will bless the church in New York City. We had a meeting last Saturday. You know, our brother James passing, it was like a grain of wheat sawed into the ground. Our brother's faithful service is just something that's sown into the ground. And we believe and we expect the Lord will bring the increase in life. This increase is not something that's planned by any of us, but we do expect that through some faithful ones going to death, willing to die, that the Lord will bring in the increase of life. So we need to be faithful, to be those who stay in life and minister life to one another. Now, what does it mean that we need to draw near to the Lord or shorten the distance between us and the Lord? In this week's portion, It connects these portion in Ezekiel chapter 44 with the portion in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Maybe we can read those two verses together. And after the second veil, a tabernacle, which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar and the Ark of the Covenant, covered about everywhere with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tablets of the covenant. In Ezekiel, we see the picture of sons of Zadok. They minister to the Lord. They stand before Jehovah. Why then is this portion mentioned? Well, as we're drawing to the Lord, or how do we draw near to the Lord today? We're not going to a physical place. Doesn't mean that you draw near to the Lord when you come to this meeting hall, right? How do we draw near to the Lord? Well, where is the Lord today? The Lord is in our spirit. And this spirit, this human spirit, is the reality of the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. Now, in the tabernacle, you begin from the altar, brass altar where the sacrifice is offered. And that's a picture of the cross. When we accepted the Lord's redemption for us, for what he has done on the cross for us, we begin a journey from the cross through the laver, eventually into the holy place. But what God wants us to do is to go all the way into the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, only one, the high priest, could enter there once a day. But praise the Lord for the New Testament, amen, for what the Lord has accomplished. Today, we can go there every day, even moment by moment. So every day, we need to make this journey. Now, these three pieces of furniture or items that are mentioned in these verses are in the Holy of Holies, inside the Ark. That's the hidden manna in the golden pot, the budded rod of Aaron, and the tablets of the commandments. Where are they? They're in the Holy of Holies. So this shows every day we need to make a journey. We need to draw near. Don't be satisfied where you are. Personally, I've been praying, and this is the prayer for myself and for all the saints, that the Lord will give us a sense of spiritual dissatisfaction. We should not be settled and set. You know, we all have a certain kind of church life or Christian life before the Lord, but are you satisfied with where you are? We need to go further. We need to experience the Lord closer. We need to enjoy him as the hidden manna. Though the open manna is something that's gathered by all the children of Israel. But the hidden manna is in the golden pot, which is in the Ark, which is in the Holy of Holies, which is in the tabernacle. So you have to press deeper. So how is your fellowship with the Lord? How have you eaten the Lord? Is it a common kind of eating that you just do? Morning watch, you know, for however long you have? Or do you have an appetite, or do you have a desire to enjoy the Lord a little bit more? I have to say that many times I'm just satisfied with my daily routine. We all need to go further, saints. We need to enjoy the Lord as the hidden manna. The Lord promised the hidden manna to the church in Pergamos. The church in Pergamos prefigured the church in the history of the church that's married to the world. So it's easy for us to be distracted by all the things in the world. Not necessarily bad things, but a lot of things occupy our time, occupy our energy. We need to be saved from the occupation of the world. And that is, on the one hand, he who overcomes get to eat the hidden manna, right? But everything that's written in Revelation chapter 2 is also a way for us to overcome. So don't wait until you get free from the occupation of the world, then you get to eat the hidden manna. But actually, the way to overcome the world is by eating the hidden manna. So we need to eat the hidden manna. We need to enjoy the budded rod of Aaron. Though that rod is a dead piece of wood. It's a piece of dead wood. But that represents resurrection. So all our service must be in the principle of resurrection. And I enjoy in our daily reading. What does resurrection mean? Resurrection means it's impossible with me, but it's possible with God. Amen. If you still find something that's possible with you by your natural capability, that's not yet in resurrection. You need to be brought to a point of death, a point of too much, it's impossible, I can't do this. Then you realize that you need resurrection. You need the God of possibility. It is impossible with man, but it's possible with God. Amen. So in our service, we need to experience the God of resurrection by eating and enjoying the budded rod. And then the last piece is the piece of the tablet of commandment. Now this symbolizes or represents the law of life that we have received within us. It does regulate us, but not according to a right or wrong or moral standard. It regulates us according to the sense of the divine life. And as it regulates us, it shapes us into a proper expression of the divine life. So this is something we also need to experience. Are we expressing the divine life, or are we just merely being a good person as we're interacting, as we're serving in the church? If the impression that we get, and I hope we be honest with one another, if all the impression you get about me is a good person, a good brother, that means I am not experiencing the law of life operating, regulating me. So we need to constantly check with one another. Brothers, are you enjoying the law of life, regulating you, shaping you into the divine expression of the triune God? So this is something very practical that I feel that we all need to experience. We need to minister to the Lord, and the way to minister to the Lord is by daily coming to the Holy of Holies. All these things are in our spirit. It has been installed in our spirit, but we need to be willing to turn to experience the Lord in our service, in the church, and in ministering life to one another. Amen. So let's, maybe we'll sing a hymn, 769. We'll just sing verses, stanza 1 to 3 and stanza 11. And as we're singing, the saints who are better in Korean, Chinese, and Spanish, you can proceed to the prophesying meeting, and then we'll set up the microphone for all the saints to prophesy, to share something that you have enjoyed from the Lord. Amen.